Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher, and Happy New Year. Pat Snyder started writing her humor columns about 10 years ago in the Suburban News Publications, and after a career in journalism and another one in law. In her latest collection of columns, The Dog Ate My Planner, she includes so-called leash laws, practical tips on how to avoid the messes she writes about in her own life. But what she really helps us do is laugh at them together. Pat's in the studio today to kick off the new year on All Sides. Welcome back, Pat.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You were one of my first guests.
Yes, I was. And it's exciting to be the first guest in 2010 or 2010,
you are.
Whatever we're going to call it.
I don't know yet. listeners, if you have any ideas on that, give us a call because you can't get organized until you know what to call something.
Well, that's right. This could get us stuck for maybe 9 months. What a great excuse.
And I did buy my planner over the weekend, thank heavens.
Yay.
Because I couldn't come in here and face you without it. But I was like writing notes and jotting notes in the back of my planner. When do you get yours?
Well, mine is kind of in perpetual motion because I have one of these Franklin Covey planners, and I think it's September that I buy the supplements, so I don't have that deer in the headlights look on December 31st. And I have a BlackBerry, so I follow all – I don't follow any of the commonly held wisdom about don't have two planners. I break all the rules, but I don't use them for the same thing, and I think that helps it work better. Most of the time.
Yeah, I have one that's on the calendar of what's going to be on the show. I've got one on the refrigerator about when the hockey practice is.
Okay.
And then I've got mine, which is when am I going out?
Yeah, I think it does work as long as you're not using several calendars for the same thing and forget to enter things. I think that's where the process can break down.
Forgetting.
Yes, of course.
Just forgetting. You know, you mentioned the BlackBerry. You're very high tech.
Well, I give that appearance sometimes. And then
BlackBerry,
other times.
Twitter, Facebook.
Well, I'll tell you a secret about the BlackBerry. They give you a little school classroom instruction at the phone store. And mostly people in their 50s and 60s actually attend these, but they're very, very helpful. They have a whole checklist of things that you might want to know about running the thing, and it works well.
But Twitter.
Don't you love it?
I do. I'm on Twitter now myself. What is your Twitter address?
Well, I am twitter.com/plannerdog for time management advice. And the other is just Pat Snyder.
Okay.
So Henry, the time management dog, is the real player here. Henry is not really too high tech, and sometimes I have to really work with him to make sure he gets on Twitter, but he's learning.
Now, Henry, is he the guy in the front of your book?
He is.
The dog ate my planner?
Yes.
So you did name him.
I did. I had a contest, actually, for dog names, and Mary B. Rilato's dog named Henry was the inspiration for this book cover.
Why did you settle on Henry?
Her dog's name was Henry. She submitted that as the entry, but she had such a creative twist to it that I just had to go with it. Plus, Henry is adorable. But she said if Henry ate her planner, that would mean that she had too much in it and she needed to kick back and balance her life. What a better reason could you give in a contest for this book? So Henry was.
None. So it was in the sell job, really.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, The Dog is on the 12 Days of Christmas virtual book tour. Weekdays through December 16th.
Yes,
what
he was.
What was that? What's a virtual book tour?
You hop from blog to blog and get interviewed, and I had a great time with it. And it's very convenient because you get the questions ahead, of course, and can send them in and actually think about them.
Instead of this rapid-fire delivery that I'm giving you right now, huh?
Yeah, I could actually think for a minute, but I enjoyed the book tour. It was fun, and it was fun getting feedback from people who saw things on the blog.
So you visit blogs, though?
Yes.
Like, where did you go?
various book review blogs, mostly. I'll tell you, my funniest experience on the virtual book tour was some of these book bloggers have book giveaways, and people will submit their request for a book, and there's a drawing or whatever. Well, there was a book giveaway on one blog, and because the internet is everywhere, it turned out that I wound up having to send a book to Belgium and pay the postage. I couldn't believe it.
How much was it?
$27.
Oh, my gosh.
So I thought, I think if I do another book giveaway, I'm going to say – Domestic shipping only.
You know, I just thought of something. Giving your book with a planner for the holidays would have been a perfect gift.
That's right.
I never
thought
of that.
That's right. I think I had a few people say they were going to do that. So it's kind of clever. I've also thought you could incorporate the book into a planner.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
How would you do that?
I don't know. I think you'd have to have some cartoons and some advice.
Oh, you mean you could develop a planner from this?
Yeah, I could do that.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, that, definitely.
In my spare time. A good idea.
And tell funny little stories Yeah.
Yeah. The ideas are endless, which is why planning is so tough at the beginning of the year. We have so many ideas of things we'd like to do.
If you're just dropping in, my guest is Pat Snyder. She's a columnist and author with the Suburban News Publications. Her new book, it's 2009. I guess we've changed
years
now. It came out
in September.
The Dog Ate My Planner, Tales and Tips from an Overbooked Life. Did you take your own advice at the holidays to pick one way to be a superwoman and leave the rest for next year?
Well, I did something different this year. As you may know, my husband died in May, and I decided a great plan for the holidays was to get out of Dodge and not do anything in the same way, just kind of do things the opposite. So we were out of town, which made it very easy not to have to do any work. We went to Boston for Thanksgiving, flew in that morning, impossible to cook, could only eat, so that was not a problem. And then for Christmas, we went to Phoenix, where my daughter-in-law is a cookie baker and had already made 500 cookies.
Wow.
Yeah. I had nothing that I had to delegate.
And did
it was
you give
wonderful.
Everybody gift cards or something? Or?
Yeah. Well, we draw names.
Oh,
we
that's
decided
good.
A couple years ago that we should draw names, and whatever we saved, we would give to charity if we were in a position to do that. And I think that's worked out well for us. The other thing we did
that's
this
really
year
nice.
Was we ditched the live tree idea, which is probably a good idea since we weren't going to be in town anyway. And we got one of these quarter-size Christmas trees that you put. It's like a wedge that fits in the corner.
I've never
of the
heard
living
of that.
Oh, they're great. They're, when you think about it, because it's only a quarter tree, It's really lightweight to set up. And when we eventually take it down, it'll be really easy to do that, too. We haven't gotten that far yet.
So do you only decorate the front of it, then?
There is only a front. There is no back.
Really? I've never seen this before. You learn something new every day, folks. If you would like to speak with Pat, she's got lots of ideas. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Your column last year, you said only one wise man brought gold.
Yeah.
And so that was your kind of your opus on the gift-giving routine. But you yourself admitted in the column that you couldn't stick with it, but you did this year.
I did this year. That column about the wise man preceded our system of drawing names.
Okay.
And probably propelled me to it because my penchant for trying to give the perfect gift got me into a lot of trouble in previous years. I would just go nuts trying to look and look and look.
Yeah, to find the perfect gift. You know, I actually like shopping for the gifts. I look forward to it every year.
I think that's great.
And
good for you.
It's weird, though, because I feel like kind of a dork because people are always saying, oh, I've got to go Christmas shopping. And I was like, well, I like it. Oh, it's fine. Let's take a quick call right now, 614-292-8513, because I know a lot of people want to ask you questions. Sharon, you're on the air.
I wondered if Pat has any suggestions for starting the new year creatively and with a great sense of humor.
You can come on Ann Fisher's show. Thanks, Sharon, for laughing.
You know, I heard the first part of the last part of that question. I just fooled with the volume knob and got it up enough.
Okay, Sharon, you want to repeat that?
Sure. I wondered if Pat has any suggestions for starting the new year with creativity and humor. I wondered how she gets her humor and creativity juices flowing.
Great question. I think the new year is a perfect time to get a sense of creativity and also see things in more of a humorous light, because we're taking a step back anyway, usually in the new year, to assess what's happened the year before and plan what's going to happen. And while we're taking that step back, we can look at some of the things that happened in our lives the previous year that were kind of funny and become focused on looking for those things as they come up in our everyday lives now. For creativity, I think one of my biggest things is to shake things up a little bit, to maybe do your routines in an opposite way, do something a little bit different so that you're getting your brain wired on both the left and the right sides, kind of working together.
What's an example of that?
One thing that I would do, for example, is brush my teeth with the opposite hand. I really would.
Yeah, I read that on your blog. I was going to ask you about that.
You want to know how my teeth are doing?
I don't know. Do you have, like, carpal tunnel? I would bother my wrist to be doing that.
I think any routine that you normally do, just do it a little bit differently. Maybe ride to work in a different way. You know, take a different route. Especially in the winter when we feel like we're holed in. We're not out as much as normal. It's really important, I think, to start taking a little bit different slant on things.
Okay.
All righty, Sharon. Thanks for your call.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. The brushing with your, well, it would be my left hand. And mm-hmm. I thought about that, and I could also see the brush flipping up into my nose. I mean, just, you know, I'm not sure I could control it.
Well, you get to choose what you do in the opposite way.
So pick something.
Maybe start with something else. Something, you know, you could always simple. Eat dessert first. I think that's always good advice.
I felt like I did that for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. So. Oh, I know. Now you can eat your veggies.
I just feel like a big ball of dough. You said don't try to do your creative thinking in the same physical space as you do your linear thinking. What is the distinction there?
Well, for example, in my house, I have two workspaces that are offices. One is upstairs where I do my writing, and downstairs is where I pay the bills. That's not fun.
Bummer.
It's exactly. I never do both things in the same spot. Sometimes I think it's really helpful to do creative thinking at a completely different spot. For example, one of my favorites is to go out to a coffee house in Powell called Espresso Yourself.
Yeah, good
which,
place.
Yeah, you know, it was formerly a church, and I think there's some sacred space there or something, mm-hmm. but it really gets my creative juices flowing to the extent that I gave my writing friends for Christmas a gift certificate to buy one latte there, just so that they would go there uh-huh. and start writing. Because sometimes we have to give ourselves permission to leave the house, get away from the dust bunnies and things that might bother us, and go do something fun and creative for ourselves.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break right now. If you would like to speak to Pat Snyder, she's with me in the studio. She's columnist and author with Suburban News Publications. Her book is The Dog Ate My Planner, Tales and Tips from an Overbooked Life. You can give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation begins this afternoon at 2 o'clock right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Good morning and thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher. 20 degrees in downtown Columbus. Occasional snow showers this afternoon and a daytime accumulation of between 1 and 2 inches. A high today of 22 degrees.
Support for WOSU comes from Marburn Academy, inviting the community to a parent seminar, Getting High School to Work for ADHD Students, January 12th at 7 p.m. Information on how to register can be found at marburnacademy.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Pat Snyder. She's a columnist for Suburban News Publication. She's an author. The Dog Ate My Planner, Tales and Tips from an Overbooked Life. This is Pat's second visit to the show, and I welcome her back with open arms. It's always a lot of fun.
And I'm happy to be here.
And I read the book again and laughed again because, you know, you always forget stuff, and it's great to be reminded. One of the columns was about Christmas in a box. I don't want to dwell on Christmas and the holidays too much, but Pat, for the love of Pete, tell us the story of Christmas in a box and how did it ever occur to you? Because I can't even remember that now.
Well, I'm always trying to figure out a better system for doing something. And one of the real hassles for me in the holidays was try to figure out how I could get all the usual stuff with the presents and everything orchestrated and also serve breakfast. So I got this bright idea that instead of making breakfast, I would simply prepare Christmas in a box. And I went to a bakery. And if I'd been really smart, I would have bought some donuts or something. But no, I buy all these plain bakery boxes that have to be assembled. And then I decide that I'm going to decorate them with felt cutouts for each person in the family to represent their interests. Well, it went over really well the first year, sort of for everyone, at least but me, because I decided that I would bake biscuits and put ham in them.
So it was a lot of work anyways.
Oh, it was a lot of work, but what got worse was I had gotten so invested in making the box that I decided I had to keep this up every single year. And that, I thought, was giving everyone a wonderful gift, but my kids, now grown, pointed out the other day that those were the scuzziest looking boxes. I guess the ham and biscuits had kind of seeped through at some point.
And they mysteriously disappeared at some point.
They did, and I'm always wondering who did that. But they actually asked last year to bring the boxes back. So when we were in town last year and doing Christmas, we had the boxes again.
I don't know. It's tempting.
Maybe that's what motivated me to go out of town this year.
Get away from that.
Exactly.
If you'd like to talk to Pat, 614-292-8513. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. And Patsy, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question. You haven't said anything about New Year's resolutions.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to hear your take on New Year's resolutions and also whether New Year's resolutions are different than goals. I don't like New Year's resolutions myself.
Well, is it Patsy or Patty?
Patsy.
Patsy. I agree with you on the New Year's resolutions, except that I have found a way to make a New Year's resolution successful, I think. I just read a little book called The Gift of a Year, which is by a woman named Myra Kirschenbaum, who suggests that you find something you put on the back burner for a long time that you'd like to do and give that to yourself as a gift. And I got to thinking about this and thought if I had something that I really wanted to do that wasn't something I hated, I probably could keep that commitment to myself, and decided this year that I was going to give myself the gift of poetry. I was going to actually go and read poetry. I don't have to make myself write poetry. I don't have to do anything that might be hard to do. It's just pure enjoyment. So that kind of a resolution, I think, does work. Other than that, I think these promises we make to ourselves to do something we really hate are punitive. I mean, within 15 days, we're ready to abandon them, and then we feel bad about ourselves. And those kinds of resolutions, I think, are more wishes than goals, to get to your second point. They're out there, but there's no plan. And with a goal, you actually have some steps to get to something in the end, and hopefully you're rewarding yourself with something pleasant along the way. And it's in line with your values and priorities. And even if there's hard work to get there, you can envision how it's going to feel positive when you actually reach the goal. So I think that's the difference. And I think that's why these resolutions that are wishes to do tough things to ourselves just don't work out.
They seem to focus on negative stuff that we want to change about ourselves or that we perceive as negative. Patsy, what can you think of that you would change or you would do or a gift you would give yourself that was positive?
The gift that I gave myself this year is meditation.
Good one.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
But I'm a wellness coach, and I see people making the same resolutions year after year. So obviously they're not goals.
Right, because they've never been achieved.
Right. Hmm.
And how did the meditation work out for you?
It's going wonderfully. I actually was so excited about it, I started the week before New Year's.
That's great. That's great. And how many people do that with a typical exercise resolution?
Exactly. Patsy, thanks for your call, and Happy New Year.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see. Just because I can say your name very quickly, Anne. You'd like Pat's opinion on the electronic or paper planner. You're on the air.
Oh, yes, yes. I had a little glitch in my technology, which is probably why I'm calling in to ask this question. Yes. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. I'm thoroughly
enjoying your show, and I'm thoroughly enjoying Pat's book. So I want to thank her for writing it to
cheer
us all up. Yeah, my question was, I'm debating about whether to get more knowledgeable electronically and purchase an electronic planner versus sticking with my same old floppy paper planner. And I wondered what her ideas might be on this.
Well, I guess it depends on why you're thinking about switching to an electronic planner. Is the paper one not working so well for you?
Well, it gets a little crowded, particularly when I have to write over other things that aren't, you know, are no longer there, but I forgot to use pencil instead of a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting sloppy, and I.
I think that's a downside of a paper planner. The other one is if you lose it, you've lost it.
That's true.
It's not backed up. With the electronic one, it is backed up. I do a combination of both, using the electronic one as an appointment calendar, just because it's nice to throw in my purse. And if I'm out somewhere and somebody says, could you do lunch next Thursday, I can look and actually know I'm free.
Yeah.
But the paper one, I really need just because I'm a very visual person. I like to see how much day I have before I make a to-do list to fill it.
Okay.
Because that way I don't get as frustrated at the end of the day that I couldn't get but a third of the things done. I don't know if you're a fan of Julia Morgenstern, Living from the Organizing from the Inside Out, but she talks about your planner being similar to your closet. You can only get as much in a day as you can fit, and so if you can visualize what you can actually get in there, you're much less frustrated.
You haven't been in my closet, but,
but I've been in mine.
Well, it sounds to me like if you really wanted to give an electronic planner a shot, it might be worth it. You might want to see if you could play around with a friend's a little bit just to see
how
it works for you and whether it's really easy to manipulate or whether it becomes frustrating. Mm. It's such an individual thing. You deserve to try it out first.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Anne. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did paper for years, and then I did electronic. My husband bought me one after I forgot to take my kid to hockey practice one time. I kind of just hung around school with him and was gabbing with the teacher and completely forgot. But it didn't take for me, and I've gone back to the paper. But you just put the a chill down my spine when you said, unless you lose it.
I know.
That's
terrifying, I know. But you're a writer. I think writers like to write.
Yeah, I just like looking at it. I think you kind of said it for me when you said you like to look at the book and kind of visualize your day and see it laid out like that. That is exactly how I like it. Leslie, you're on the air with Pat Snyder on WOSU.
Hi. My question is about wondering if Pat has suggestions for how to motivate yourself to do things that you have to do but you don't want to do.
Yes. Well, I think my biggest suggestion on that is to focus not so much on the parts that you don't want to do, but how you're going to feel when you get to the end result. For example, if you have a goal of exercising, and if you hate to exercise as much as I do, then it might be helpful to visualize yourself doing something you really love that you're able to do now that you're in better shape. For example, for me, it would be I have a new grandchild. I want to make sure that when she's 2 and 3 and tearing around, I'm in really good shape to go run after her and then later do fun things. So that would be my motivator as opposed to I have to go to the gym and lift these weights that I really hate and focus on the part that I really don't like. I just have to keep the big picture in mind.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, thanks. Leslie, thanks. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we have an email now from Terry. Asks, does Pat have any time management tips for those of us who are aspiring writers?
Ah, yes, I do. It would be the same tip as I give to anyone who has something that they really love to do but seem to have trouble scheduling because it comes after everything else. I would say make an appointment with yourself to write. And I would find a time that is a good productive writing time for you that's also available to you and schedule that in maybe the same time every day so that your mind is programmed to sit down and write. Don't wait for the inspiration because inspiration is very fickle and it may or may not come. But if you're sitting there and you know you have only so much time, the deadline effect of that, I think, is very helpful. It's a lot like if you've studied at all the Natalie Goldberg technique of timed writing, where you give yourself 10 minutes to write about something. It's amazing how those words can push out.
Yes, there's a really nice writing exercise that incorporates that kind of free writing or stream of consciousness writing. But, you know, I came up through the, you know, newspaper business and deadlines helped me a lot. But, yeah, just sitting down and putting black on white.
Yeah, if I didn't have a deadline for my monthly column, I know I would have trouble. I had trouble this past week until I was right to the deadline. And then voila!
I know that feeling. Let's see who's been waiting now here. Tracy, you are on the air with Pat Snyder on WOSU. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Ann. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
I have a question that might be off topic. But Pat and I have a few things in common. We're both humorists, and we both lost our husbands suddenly to heart attacks.
Right.
How can I start the new year with humor despite such a traumatic loss, and how are you doing it?
Uh-huh.
I ended up so incredibly depressed that I actually ended up in the hospital, and you seem to be handling it much better than I did. So do you have any tips for me?
Well, I think grief is a very individual thing. For me, humor has always been a way of coping, and writing the humor column over a decade kind of got me into that mode. So it came naturally to step back a little bit and try to look at things through a more humorous vein when I could. I certainly couldn't do it the first month or two. But I did get to the point that I was able to get back in what was a regular habit for me and also for my husband, who had a very good sense of humor. And I knew that he would really want me to be doing that. So that made me feel better about it. I think that just taking this a step further, even in terms of planning, the grief process is very unpredictable. Sometimes you may feel like you're coping just great, and then out of nowhere, there will be this sadness that comes up less and less, not as intense, but it still comes up. And so one thing I've tried to do this year in terms of not just humor, but just overall, is to give myself permission to be gentle and cancel things if I don't feel like doing them. Fortunately, I've been able to stay on track, but still I think it's important to be that kind to yourself and also get the support of other people. For example, Kobacher has wonderful grief groups that meet and can be a great source of support. And the support of other people anytime you're in a transition is really helpful.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Tracy, thanks very much for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's take another quick call. Gary, you're on the air. WOSU with Pat Snyder. Hi, Gary. You've been waiting a long time.
I got a couple questions, couple comments.
Sure.
Pat, love the title of the book.
Oh, thank you.
Also, I was wondering if there was ever if this could be a sequel to a kid's book that the dog ate my homework.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's what comes to mind. Unless you're planning a prequel, I don't know.
I think a prequel would be good.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, you look at it and it makes you think of all the different things that if you are a dog owner or a dog lover and the things that dogs have eaten over the years.
And then you
get bogged down with life and realize that there's a lot of things that that eat your planner or that get into your schedules. And I guess it's a symbolic dog that eats up your schedule.
Exactly. It's a metaphor.
Okay. And interestingly enough, looking at, hearing a previous caller on things to change that up, maybe changing the way you do things and taking it from there, you've probably had a lot of different stories about dogs and how you react, those metaphoric dogs and how you react to them. Is there anything that really stands out, or have you heard, whether metaphorically or real dog stories, that really stand out to you?
I'm glad you asked me about the real dog stories. I have heard great real dog stories to the point that I thought I should really have a contest for who's got the best real dog story. You know, the dog ate my checkbook. That's not good. The dog ate my Advil.
I'll throw pain. Ski goggles into the mix.
That happened to you?
That happened while packing for a weekend getaway.
Oh,
and
my.
Couldn't find my ski goggles until I finally did discover what was left of them, where the dog liked to sleep. So I guess you could say that the dog ate my luggage.
Well, you may have inspired me to do something new and a new twist on this whole thing. We may have to get to real dogs, too.
You know, isn't it amazing, Gary, what we let these dogs get away with? I mean, you know, I've had two different dogs. One ate a fabulous pair of boots. I thought I'd save the other one, thought I could use the leather for something. And she ate the second one the next day. And then our dog now, I remember one day I heard her out in the living room and I thought she was chewing on one of those acrylic bone, or not acrylic, but those hard rubber bones. And no, it turned out to be the leg of our new couch. So, but I can't even imagine life without her.
Yeah.
Sure. And again, I wanted to thank you, Pat. And the most recent comments thrown out there on changing the way you do things, I think, is a great idea.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks,
thank
Gary.
You.
Thanks for waiting.
Bye-bye.
Let's take a break right now. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Watch This Emotional Life, a special three-part series, January 4th through the 6th at 9 p.m. on WOSU-TV. This Emotional Life explores ways to improve social relationships, learn to cope with depression and anxiety, and become more positive, resilient individuals. Experts share the latest science on what makes us tick and how we can find support for the emotional issues we all face. Catch This Emotional Life on WOSU-TV.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, hour two of All Sides will be here, and we'll hear about the food and culture of Ireland and traditional Irish recipes. That begins in 20 minutes at 11 right here on WOSU 820. 20 degrees in downtown Columbus, occasional snow showers with a chance of 1 to 2 inches of accumulation today, a high of 22 degrees. Cloudy skies tonight with a little snow this evening, an additional accumulation of around an inch. For Tuesday, cloudy with scattered snow and a high of 23. And looking ahead to Wednesday, snow flurries and clouds and a high of 24.
Support for WOSU comes from the estate of Donald R. Glancy, whose life was enriched by public radio and television, and whose bequest seeks to encourage others to discover WOSU public media.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Pat Snyder. She's a columnist for Suburban News Publications. She's an author as well. The Dog Ate My Planner, Tales and Tips from an Overbooked Life is her latest. Pat, you talked about in one of your columns about how you could know what your mission will be in another hoped for 25 or 30 years. And it's a good example of a hilarious story that you wrote in this column about where your husband's buried. And it's I didn't know what to make of it, except that it made me laugh and then it made me think a lot at the end.
Yeah, it was kind of a shocking experience for us. We went out to the cemetery and discovered that my husband was buried by another woman, which, you know, I guess I should have noticed on the plot, but I didn't think it was going to turn out that way. And as it evolved, the guy from the cemetery was very eager to sell me my own stone so it could go down and it would be clear that there was somebody else, and I guess you just fill in the final date. But I really didn't like the idea because I planned to have another 25 or 30 years, and I really wanted to, on my stone, I wanted to have what exemplified wherever I was at that point, not where I was now. So it did make me think a lot, and I'm sure my husband would understand. And really, I think he'd be delighted that he's buried by Big Mama.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, the column is very funny. It's in the Dog Ate My Planner, Pat's book. She's with her children, and they're very far. How you depict them, just everything about it was funny.
That one thing related to the subject of grieving, as Tracy's call brought mm-hmm. up, and the cemetery as well, is one thing I've decided to do this year is I'm going to feng shui my house to clear energy and kind of get a fresh start. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the email I got from the feng shui consultant was so helpful, and I just wanted to pass it on because I think it applies to everything. She said, yeah, we'll meet, but first you need to kind of, in your mind, go through the house and see what in this house moves you forward and what is holding you back. And, wow, what a great way to look at our lives at the beginning of the year. You know, what is moving us forward, not just in objects, but the way we spend our time, our activities, the people we're hanging out with, and what's holding us back from where we want to go. So I have a feeling the feng shui experience will be really mind-blowing, but her very first question I really liked.
Yeah, that is a very that's really neat. I guess I was thinking in terms of objects, but it could be.
It can be anything, and I think if you inventory the way you spend your time, you can ask those questions very meaningfully. Sometimes we don't even know. It's like mindless eating. We don't know where we're spending our time either, and sometimes it's good to be taking kind of a Weight Watchers inventory and seeing, you know, where am I spending my time? Just like we ask ourselves, what did I eat and how many points was it?
You're listening to Pat Snyder, author of The Dog Ate My Planner. If you'd like to speak with Pat, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Donna, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
How are you two ladies today?
Fine,
okay.
Thanks.
Good. I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Pat, referring to your issue about real dog problems, recently my dog unfortunately went blind.
Mm.
So, well, she had a number of issues with that, and just, you know, now she's blind. So she's adjusting pretty well because, as we say it, she has two seeing eye people, which, you know, we think is kind of amusing. But basically she's kind of putting a big hole in my planner because now I have to spend a lot more time with my dog.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Specifically, you know, to take her on walks and do the things because she can't see to go out and do some of the things on her own. So I was just wondering what you thought about how these extra things that we come upon suddenly impact on our planners.
Well, I think in a way that the same principle that I talked about with grieving applies. Sometimes you have to be gentle to yourself when you have extra responsibilities thrust on you and don't expect that you can have this extra thing to take care of and also do everything else. This is obviously very important to you. It sounds like the dog means a lot to you.
She does.
And this is something you want to do. So if you can focus on maybe the extra energy it gives you being out with her, spending that time, being more in the moment, that could be something that could be helpful to you in other areas of your life. Just the fact that you're maybe doing something that's more right-brained right now and will help you do the rest of your work more efficiently, more productively.
Well, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Good luck with your dog. That
All
sounds
right.
tough.
It is, but especially with the cold weather coming in.
Oh, yeah.
I spend more time putting on clothes to take her out than sometimes spend outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're a good dog owner.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. 614-292-8513. There's still time to talk to Pat Snyder. And Carol, you're on the air. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Thanks Good for morning. Waiting.
You're welcome. First of all, I want to thank Pat for her book because it inspired me to take care of quite a few people on my Christmas list this year.
Thank you.
I'm calling in. I am currently in the wellness business. Mm-hmm. And doing massage, and also I teach a self-care class. And I find that a lot of people have a hard time giving themselves permission to take care of themselves. We are always taking care of everybody else.
Right.
We have our to-do list, and at the end of the day, the thought of, well, gee, I was going to take, as one caller said, time for meditation, or I was going to schedule that massage, or I was going to take a walk, or whatever it is. And we let everything else take priority instead of allowing ourselves to say, you know, I should come first. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on allowing us to do that.
Well, I think it's very important, and I'm really glad you raised the issue, because I was actually out speaking to a group of people who were newly unemployed professionals who were working really, really hard on their job searches. And one of the issues that came up there was that many of them were not giving themselves permission to have fun. Either their family members felt that they needed to be looking 100% of the time, you know, working on the job search, or they themselves felt that they needed to and felt guilty if they were giving themselves permission to do that. So one point I'm really clear on that I want to make, because I know that a lot of people out there are facing job loss and are going through tough times, is that giving yourself that permission to take care of yourself, to do something that's fun, really scheduling it into your day, can make you a better job searcher. It can help you understand your situation. It can help you understand maybe even how the skills that you have can translate into something else. It's hard to be a creative thinker if you are just hunkered down in misery and stressful job searching all the time. You really need to get out of that box.
Mm-hmm. So, and it keeps you more positive, too.
It keeps you more positive. It really helps you think. And when you get that interview, you're going to be a better interviewer because you're upbeat, you're creative, you're the kind of person they want to have on the staff.
Right, right.
So
I wanted to add one other little thought. You were talking about having to do things that you don't want to do.
Yes.
And, you know, including in the job search, all of those, you know, things that you just have to sit down and get done. And I heard another speaker one time talking about taking micro steps.
Mm.
And literally little tiny things that this person would recommend, that if you want to start an exercise program, maybe what you do is you just say, I'm just going to put my tennis shoes on today. I mean, micro,
good,
very small things. And the woman, one woman she was working with, when she came back, she said, well, did you have time to just put on your tennis shoes and get dressed to do mm-hmm. exercise? She goes, well, actually, I went on a 20-minute walk.
Yeah. Once you start, it's easier, isn't it? You get a little momentum going.
Right. So if you can just say, I'm just going to do this one little thing, it really helps to jumpstart the whole activity.
I agree with you. And I'd also add that it's sometimes really helpful at the end of the day, if you're going through a tough time, to write down the positive things you've done during that day. You know, all the things that you're pleased about. Maybe you're not getting external pats on the back and attaboys for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can do it in a very intentional way for yourself, it can make a big difference.
Mm, that's a great idea. I mm-hmm. like that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. And Gary, you're on the air. You've been waiting a long time. Thanks. Hi, Gary.
Oh, hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
Same
to you.
Same to you.
Yes, I have not read Pat's book yet, but I have read some of her columns, and thank you very much for that humor and inspiration of those.
Well, thank you.
But I have two questions. First one is, how many planters can a dog eat at one sitting?
I've noticed that's generally one at a time.
Okay, what about the electronic one?
I think that probably one would do the dog in for a little bit of time. Although I'm not positive. I was just out in Arizona with my grand dog, and that dog can eat so much. Oh, my goodness. He just inhales everything. So, you know, maybe I should amend that. Maybe two in the case of pugs.
Well, we had a dog once that ate my son's billfold. And later passed the change.
Okay.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Well, my second question is, reading your columns, I'm curious as to how many planters you've lost to dog eating over the journey of writing and marketing your book.
Oh, gosh. Well, I've had some interesting experiences along the way. I think one of my most interesting, besides the woman I had to pay the $27 shipping to Belgium on, was that it's funny, when my husband was still alive, I raised with him the idea that I thought this is a book that really should be marketed at dog festivals. And he told me, I think that's wrong. but, you know, I was just determined to try it. So I went to the Worthington Fido Fest, where I sat for about 4 hours with a tent that was about to blow away because it was gales of wind. And I think I sold two books. I met some really interesting people, and I almost adopted a dog, which I'm really glad I didn't do. But, yeah, sometimes there's a lot of experimentation involved in this, and it doesn't always go so well. You just have to roll with the punches.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So let's talk about World Laughter Tour.
Yes.
.org. You're still working with that, right?
Oh, yes. I just took the advanced training.
Oh, well.
Which actually.
For those among us who are not familiar with it.
Well, you and I could sit here and do something. We won't, but we could sit here and do something called relational laughter, in which you just sit there and start laughing.
And I can do this.
I'm not sure that people out there listening.
I know it
wouldn't
be any fun for listeners. That's right.
But okay. Oh, it's really, really wonderful. You know, and some people enjoy it more than others. But I learned about that and relational presence with audiences. That, you know, it's really more about the audience than about you. It was wonderful training, and also I think the World Laughter Tour is getting really sophisticated and actually looking at research about the brain and how laughter affects that. So I'm very excited. I'm going out to Wesley Glen later this month to do some laughter with various levels of care there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
The founder of the World Laughter Tour, he started that back in the 60s. Am I wrong about that? Or
I'm not sure if it was that long ago.
I'm thinking about things like
it's
this.
It's been a while, and it's Steve Wilson, who lives here in Gahanna, and he's just wonderful. He does trainings all over the place and went to India to learn more about laughter. So he does an excellent training and has trained thousands of people.
Now, how were you attracted to this organization?
Just because I love the idea of using laughter and humor for stress release, because it was so good for me, and it just seemed like a fun thing to do. You know, just show up at a workplace or something. You can do this over lunch or whatever, and lead laughter exercises. So I put myself out there to do it, and I always have a good time when I do.
How did you know when you were a humorist as a writer? It's a difficult thing to do. I mean, you make it look easy, but it is difficult for a lot of people.
Well, I don't know. I think you just tend to fall into your own style. And I like to write short, 500 words, and I'm ready to head for the door. This is not necessarily a good thing. But it just kind of worked for me and cheered me up. That's why I like it.
You worked for the Akron Beacon Journal. Were you a columnist back then?
I did some column work. For example, at one time I wrote Club News.
Okay.
It was interesting, but then I moved on to Greater Heights and I did consumer reporting, which was actually a lot of fun. And I rigged up cars and took them to repair places and, you know, did phantom shopping. It was a lot of fun.
Did you use humor when you wrote about that?
No, I did not. It was very serious, straightforward. And actually, that's what kind of spurred me on to go to law school was that experience. I thought it was really fun to write about, but I thought it would be more fun to get involved in some of the litigation and that sort of thing.
How many years were you a lawyer?
28.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. But I'm loving doing this now.
Yeah, she, folks, calls herself a recovering lawyer.
Right.
But you worked for the Attorney General's office?
Oh, I worked in a number of state agencies, and I worked for the federal government before that. So as lawyers go, my schedule was more manageable than a lot. I was very fortunate that way, raising a family.
You weren't working in a law firm with 800-hour weeks,
no,
that kind of a thing.
No, I was not.
So how often do you go out on World Laughter Tour?
Whenever somebody's interested in having a laughter exercise, if I'm not doing anything that day, I'm happy to go. Mm-hmm. I've just done all different kinds of groups. I love to do people who are under stress, especially senior citizens are a lot of fun to do, healthcare institutions. Actually, along that same line, I've got to say one of my goals, and I actually have set some for the year, is to get my book out in more medical institutions where there are people waiting. I had waiting copies distributed when it first came out, and the feedback has been so good from people sitting and waiting and wanting to have a laugh that I'm really thinking about nationally distributing the book in that mode, and I'm very excited about that whole idea.
I wish I would have looked at this closer, but you were having some kind of get-together or some kind of meeting, and if folks bought a book, that you would donate one.
Right. I would give them a waiting room copy along with their regular copy, and then they could leave it in the doctor's waiting room. And as a result, I've gotten these sightings from around the city of Columbus and in this area. Oh, I saw the book in the waiting room. Somebody was reading it. Somebody was laughing. You know, so I think that's a place that book needs to be because it's such a short read.
Right.
Not that your waits are always short, but you could read several.
Right. So you could probably wipe out the book
exactly
in a typical waiting room. But, Pat, thanks so much for being with me again. I appreciate it.
It was fun for me. Thanks for the invitation.
Okay. You've been listening to Pat Snyder. She's columnist and author of The Dog Ate My Planner, Tales and Tips from an Overbooked Life. And this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.